This week, we're talking about homelessness in the Valley in a series called Homeless in Plain Sight. Yesterday, we learned that at any given time in Maricopa County, about 6,000 people are homeless. Today, KJZZ's Annika Klein digs further into that number to ask, who are the homeless?
6,000. It's a big number. Easy to get lost in if you're just one in 6,000.
My street name is Ladybug.
Robin Elric is 47. She wears glasses and her vision is waning. She has a dog named Peanut.
She is a Chihuahua and a Beagle mix.
And she used to work at a carnival.
I worked the goldfish game.
Kenny Smith is a veteran. He joined the Air Force in 1987.
And I got out, I think, in 92. And it was like, well, gee, Kenny, the civilian airplanes don't have bombs and missiles, so what are you going to do now?
He has a beard, freshly trimmed, and when he talks, it's expressively, with his hands. And Vivian Manning Jackson is a New Yorker. She's married.
My husband's here with me, too.
And she has disabilities.
I have fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis. Any job I apply for, I'm going to get fired.
These three people are part of an estimated 550,000 homeless in the U.S. right now, a population that's mostly single adults. It's 60% men, 40% black. Severe mental illness affects an estimated 20%. And it might be surprising to learn that most homeless are sheltered.
We're full every single night.
Christy Saraceno is with Central Arizona Shelter Services, or CAS, in Phoenix. Almost 500 men and women come through the doors each afternoon to sleep here at night.
Our clients are getting ready to come in for the day. Many of them have been out in the community doing what they need to do to end their homelessness.
And many will end it. Soon, actually.
Most people only stay one night. People who come to the shelter program are out of here pretty quickly, within a couple of weeks.
She says just 10% of CAS clients use the majority of bed nights. These are the chronically homeless, people with long or frequent patterns of homelessness who also have a disability.
Yes, and we're seeing increases in our number of chronically homeless individuals as well.
And that's not including the number sleeping on the streets. That number is high. Unlike the short-term homeless, the chronically homeless sleep on the streets far more than in a shelter, making that group even harder to help if they aren't turning up at the door to ask for it.
Sometimes you have to set your pride aside and, you know, let people help you.
That's Vivian Manning Jackson again, who you heard earlier describing her disabilities.
Fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis.
She's been homeless since November.
Meanwhile, while I'm here, you know what I mean, I do what little bit of things I can do to show my appreciation.
Like making the rows of beds, tucking the sheets neatly into their corners, like she used to do at home.
I really miss being able to just go into my linen closet, pick out a sheet.
She was evicted for failing to pay rent when money got tight.
There's a lot of people in our country that live their lives on the brink of homelessness.
Amy Donnelly is an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Central Florida. She researches homelessness and poverty and says the two conditions are closer than you might think.
They're one emergency, one illness, one broken card from becoming homeless.
So for the 500,000 homeless out there, there are millions more in poverty who are on the threshold of losing their housing. In 2012, the Morrison Institute at ASU surveyed homeless in Arizona and found close to half said they lost their living space because they lost a job.
Being homeless is just a condition that people experience. It doesn't define someone.
Manning Jackson hopes soon it'll be a part of her life left in the past. She's waiting on Social Security benefits to kick in and thinks she might get approved for a place this month.
And I want it, you know, running my own household, you know, cooking my own meals, you know.
And then that's it. She won't be homeless anymore. Annika Klein, KJZZ News. Phoenix.
And now Annika Klein joins us with more. Hi, Annika.
Hi, Steve.
So you told us a little bit about who the homeless are, but let's talk about who they aren't. Did you find out some assumptions turned out to be wrong, frankly?
Yeah. You heard in the story that estimates show about a fifth of the population suffers from a mental illness. That might be a surprise to some that this number reflects overall estimates for the U.S. And that ties into a larger stereotype that comes up, that people who are homeless might be dangerous. When I spoke with Amy Donnelly, the professor at the University of Central Florida, she said it can be tough to find good data on crime perpetration by homeless people because housing status isn't always included in police reports. But from what she has been able to find, the homeless are much more likely to be victims of crimes than the ones committing them.
And if they do perpetrate crimes, they're typically nonviolent. So they're either things to do with substances, illegal substances, or they are kind of ordinance violations, so things that you would be potentially arrested for if you were living out on the streets, so, you know, trespassing, public urination, things like that.
She also mentioned most homeless don't panhandle. And on the flip side, most panhandlers aren't homeless. So, Steve, these moments we run into on the street of someone holding a cardboard sign or someone talking to themselves while in public, these might stand out more to people because this is what's bound to be more visible on the side of the road versus what's going on in the shelters and other indoor areas, which is actually where most homeless are spending their time.
You talked with a few people and we heard them in your story. Did you get a sense of how they've been treated by others who have not experienced losing a home?
I felt like it was really important to ask everyone I spoke with how they think they're viewed, but I was surprised I got different answers. Sometimes people did mention frustrations, like Kenny Smith, the veteran I interviewed. At one point while we were talking, he very exasperatedly said, "Who'd want to date a homeless guy?" But when I spoke with Vivian Manning Jackson, who's staying at CAS, she gave a really different perspective.
Everybody looks at you differently, especially when you're dirty and you're raggedy and your clothes stink and you smell, you know what I mean? Right now, I mean, if somebody came up to me like that right now, I'd be like, phew.
And as she's telling me this, she's the opposite of that description. She's wearing clean clothes, she's got access to a shower regularly, and she told me she hasn't experienced that type of negativity or weird looks when she's out in the community. She said she really empathizes with people who do get that treatment simply for what they wear or how hygienic they are. And after my interviews, it seemed like the outward appearance was a big factor in how a person is treated just by strangers.
Now, do the numbers show that fewer people are falling into homelessness?
There was a slight decrease in Maricopa County from when volunteers counted last year. So this year they counted about 2% fewer homeless, according to the Maricopa Association of Governments. But some subpopulations are seeing a rising trend. So Arizona has seen increases in older adults, for example, for a number of years. These are people in their 60s and up. The state also saw a huge jump in veteran homelessness in 2015 that it's since been trying to solve, and those numbers have been dropping again. As for 2017 numbers that were just released, even though there was a slight decrease in homelessness in the county overall, the number of people who are on the streets versus sheltered has gone up this year. So the impact of that, of course, is felt on neighborhoods and businesses, and you'll hear more about that in tomorrow's story.
And you can find more information about this series, Homeless in Plain Sight, on the web at homeless.kjzz.org. Annika Klein, thank you.
Thank you.